This is the Tom Likas Show.
About a recipe for pancakes.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
You like pancakes?
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me, at a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, and we are joined in studio by family law attorney Adam Sachs. Happy New Year, Adam.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, Tom. Such a pleasure to talk to you.
Right, understood.
So, you know, Tom, I've said it many times that women, fundamentally, are with you, maybe, that's your girl, but it's only your turn. They always have one eye on you and one eye on the door looking for a better deal. And I got to tell you something. If you think about the better deal, check it out. Megyn Kelly, who was made and minted by Fox News, who was the protege of Roger Ailes, has, despite the fact that she got this gigantic salary and everything else, she has now jumped ship. Because she got a better offer, and she's going to be on NBC. So she goes from being a conservative to a liberal in the snap of a finger.
That doesn't make her a liberal. I don't think she was ever a conservative or a liberal. I think she was a professional.
Yes, I understand.
You don't like Megyn Kelly?
Well, not anymore, no.
You don't like it because she's leaving Fox News?
Yes, that's right, Tom. I'm sorry.
Are you that much of a Fox News? Oh, my God.
No, it's not Fox News. It's
She should go to the highest bidder.
Yes. She's
that, by the way,
right.
In the broadcasting business, I did this many times.
Okay.
That's what everybody should do.
I don't know if your broadcasting was quite as ideological, let's just say.
But by the way, Megyn Kelly was whatever she had to become employed.
Now, Tom, do you realize that Johnny Depp gave Amber Heard $7 million for just 11 months of marriage, okay? Just think about that, all right? And she agreed that she was going to give most of it to charity. This was their settlement, okay? And get this. She has decided that that wasn't a good enough deal and has fired her lawyer and is going back to court to have the whole thing torn up so that she can continue it and make it go longer as though it wasn't torturous enough. Okay? So how many times have we talked about women getting their pound of flesh, and the pound of flesh is never enough pound of flesh, and never enough flesh, and want to get more flesh and all?
Well, I think he fucked up because I say you don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do, dude? You don't have a choice at some point. You got to talk to your ex-wife.
Well, I would say he should have come on down on her like a ton of bricks with the best legal advice he could get. The best legal team he could get, and he should have squashed her like a bug.
He had a very good lawyer, and he put the screws to her, and they made a deal. And considering the amount of money he has, giving her $7 million is probably not that much to him. But what I'm trying to say is...
But why didn't the deal include a provision that said, this is it?
But I'm sure he did.
You sign this, and we are done.
What I think you have to recognize is that for a woman, fundamentally, it's never done. That's the bottom line. Somehow.
But can you negotiate these things all the
time. Sure.
When you settle, isn't there just about always a clause that says, this is it.
Right.
Last chance saloon, by me giving you this money.
Right.
You agree you're never going to sue me ever again about
right.
this matter. Isn't that in the agreement?
Did you know that in Charlie Chaplin's will, he put in some kind of a thing that if you, as one of his heirs, contest this will, then you get zero. Okay? And they contested it anyway, Tom.
Did they get zero?
I don't think so. There's always a way, Tom. You know, it never quite means what it looks like it means. And when you talk about a woman walking away with that much coin, we're talking millions and millions, literally. And it shows you that she's still pissed and it's still not enough, and she still wants to screw him over some more and get a pound of flesh out of him. That should be an education to the rest of the boys. Now, Tom.
Well, what it says is don't even bother to get married. Don't count on any of these legal agreements because you're going to get fucked.
Yes, one way or another, you're going to get specially treated. Now, Tom, there is something called seasonal affective disorder. Have you heard of this?
I have.
Apparently, although we're, you know, watching on TV and all those movies about how everyone is just so happy, happy, happy at this time of the year, and it's the greatest thing, and everyone's with their family and all that stuff, apparently a lot of people are not so happy. And that in a lot of ways, people don't like their families all that much, and they don't have such great times, and they're disappointed in the holidays, and it wasn't quite as thrilling for them as it's supposed to be for everyone. And they end up having this kind of depression type thing. So you know that women in particular talk about making these New Year's resolutions and sort of like, you know, you're supposed to write, you know, what you're going to accomplish this year. And a lot of people were right. saying how 2016 was a bad year because, you know, Hillary Clinton lost and all these great celebrities died, the things you were talking about. So what turns out to be the number one thing that women write on their list that they're going to do this year, that they're going to, this is a good word, accomplish this year in their New Year's.
Wow, the divorce, I'm
right.
sure.
How did you know? Exactly. That's exactly
been
right.
Been there, done that.
That is it, Tom. And the number one time for filing is this month, January. So everyone,
right.
come on board. Give me a call.
I think it's here. By the way, Adam, I think I read further that it's not just this month. It's this week.
Yes, of course. Of course. Here's got to be the deal, okay? Somehow or another, when it gets to be mid-November, okay, it's already going to be Thanksgiving. Turkey's getting, you know, purchased and made and all this crap and all the family. And people say, especially women, I'm going to push it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to file for divorce at Thanksgiving. I'm going to push it through Thanksgiving. I'm going to make it to Christmas, and I'm going to try. You know, I'm going to push it that far. So then they get through the whole shopping thing and Black Sunday and Monday and Friday and all that stuff. And then they have the tree and the kids and the relatives come in from out of town and all that. But in the aftermath of that, they're supposed to have Christmas and then this unbelievably romantic January 1st, you know, New Year's, where you kiss under the mistletoe or whatever the story is for your true love. Turns out that he's that fat, drunk asshole you look at across the table in the morning. Remember him?
Right.
Scratching his balls and whatnot. Yes, dear, that's the best you can do. That's why you're with him. But don't tell a woman that.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is now January 2nd, January 3rd. We had kind of a weird thing, Tom, because January the 1st turned out to be like a Sunday. So I don't know how this goes, but somehow the 2nd is a holiday. So the 3rd today was the first real day of the year, you know?
Right.
And yes, indeed, I got a ton of calls today, as did probably every divorce lawyer, because all these women are coming out and realizing, that's it. I've had it. I can't do it anymore. And if Princess Leia's nice. Going to die, then life must be short. And so I don't have time to spend another minute with this guy who isn't a billionaire. Okay? Very important. And all these wonderful opportunities nice. waiting so hopelessly. I have to tell you, though, I talk to them all the time, Tom. At the end of it all, 2 years or 3 years down the line, they've gotten their pound of flesh, and they don't seem any much more happy, to be honest. And the guys that they end up with afterwards, later on, replacing their husband, who ends up not being the father of their children and causing all sorts of problems with blended families and whatnot, those guys are actually generally less quality in terms of just decency and success and everything else than the guys that they dumped originally. So women don't trade up. Women tend to trade down. How do you like that?
Well, they trade up in, like, dick size and things like that, but they trade down in terms of responsibility and
it's an interesting thing that you
liability and dependability.
I mean, I've mentioned it, you know, because there's a new thing now, and I was talking to a woman about this, that they call it paying for dick, okay? They don't want to say prostitution. I guess it's different for girls and guys or whatever. So basically, you have this this kind of middle-aged woman who's successful. She's doing very well in her career. And it's sort of like that Madonna thing, you know, she hooks up with like a younger guy or even a guy her age, but he's not very successful. And he's, you know, he actually is kind of like a loser, in fact. But, you know, she calls it paying for dick. So apparently just to have kind of a handsome guy that she can sleep with and have him around and he's semi-reliable, she's essentially, you know, paying the expenses of everything. And he's kind of, you know, working part-time at kind of nondescript story that doesn't make sense, you know. And somehow, somehow women accept this or something nowadays. And I actually saw a couple of these cases, and I actually was specific enough and bold enough where I said to the woman, you know, is it because he's so great in bed, which is sort of your analysis, Tom, you know, that he's got this 10-inch personality or whatever? And apparently it's not the case. They say that that is not it, that that did not necessarily help at all. So I don't even know what they're doing. It's really strange, isn't it?
Well, I think it is part of this problem we have in society right now where we always blame everybody else for our problems. And in the case of marriage, I think most people blame their problems on their spouses. But the reality is that, you know, we made those decisions. Men and women, all of us, we chose the people we are with. And then we never want to admit that we chose wrong.
Right. But there is a strange element.
I chose wrong four times.
Yeah, but
the first one to tell you.
Don't you think that maybe it wasn't wrong when you did it? Like it became wrong?
Well, but here's the deal. What people don't realize, they don't think big picture. Everybody you're with now was what you needed when you met them.
Right, right.
But that need changes. And sometimes the other person's need changes, sometimes yours, sometimes both. But there is nobody who will be good for you forever. Nobody.
Right. So the question has to be, now that we have these longer lifespans, right, than we've ever had before. I mean, you know, you used to be married, you know, and the woman would die in childbirth. You'd be together 5 years max, you know. And when you look at now, you literally could be with someone for 50, 60 years, even more. It's possible. And these guys that are getting married at 22 are sort of gambling on that because, you know, they're likely to live to be in their 80s along with the woman. So could you really kind of meet the same needs that you have with this person, that the two of you not only are going to be good for each other now, but you're going to sort of grow together in the same direction? And have
this whole concept of growing together is a myth. It was always a myth. And it was more of a myth back in the day when people got thrown together because their parents insisted they get married or their church insisted they get married or they're 21 and now it's time and things like that. And this was always bullshit. And, you know, the fact is people serve your needs for a period of time and then they don't serve them anymore. I mean, it's really no different than things like football head coaches, baseball managers, you know. In the beginning, everybody is thrilled. You see the new manager, the new coach come in. Everybody says, oh, it's so different now that he's here. Oh, my God. Dave Roberts, manager of the Dodgers, he's a player's manager. What a great guy he is. But I know as sure as I'm sitting here that within the next 2 or 3 years of the Dodgers flailing about, people are going to start saying this guy's a bum.
Right.
And it's the same thing with marriage. It's the same thing with boyfriends and girlfriends and friends with benefits, all of that. At some point, that person doesn't serve your needs anymore. And we don't want to accept the idea that these are like a run of a Broadway show. Show opens, sold out for 6 months, everybody loves it. Eventually, oh, my God, a chorus line? Oh, God, save me. No, no. It doesn't serve my needs anymore.
It's just not
way with marriage.
It's like the thing you were saying with the hit TV show, that if you can get, what, 7 seasons, then you can go to syndication.
You can get 100 episodes recorded.
100 episodes.
You get into syndication. They call that a good run.
We had a good run.
Right.
We had a good run. It wasn't going to last forever, but we had a good run.
But take TV series, for example. Would ABC sign a deal to produce Blackish for 50 years? No.
Right.
Blackish is having a good run.
Right.
And at some point, Anthony Anderson will get a better offer. Or at some point, what's-her-face, Tracee Ellis Ross.
Right.
Will get her own sitcom where she gets bigger billing and more money. And they're not going to base this on, oh, well, we're all family over there at Blackish. No.
No, we're all family.
At some point, you get a better offer and you take it.
Right. Well, that's what I meant about Kelly.
Yeah, but that's how it should be. That's how marriage should be. No marriage.
So then what if you had marriage where you were committed to each other, but you had to, like, renew it every 5 years? You know?
But even then, what purpose does that serve to a man? I don't want to be in a position of having to be pressured to do anything, ever. I've already been there.
There has to be some substance under it, Tom. There has to be some foundation of some kind.
Why?
Because as it is today, you have all these people being raised by single mothers, and it's shown to be the worst thing possible.
I for kids, but I'm talking about for men. What's the benefit?
I understand, but kids are the next generation. So you got to have something in our society. There's got to be some underpinning.
I mean, you can't make people want to be there.
No,
can't
I understand.
Make people be loyal. Can't make people want to be families. And when you sign a contract and get tied up with another person, they now have the right to stop putting out, chop their hair off, gain weight, treat you like shit,
well,
be total cunts.
There's got to be something. There's got to be something.
You see, the one thing that keeps women in line in that regard is not marrying them. Because then they are constantly trying to get you to do that by making more meals, cleaning the house better, folding your socks, blowing you.
Yeah, but
because they
like
want you to buy the whole package.
But your grandma, for example, wouldn't have cut your grandpa off. There's something in the modern woman, especially the modern Western American
woman. Well, the modern woman has birth control, which my grandmother did not have. So she can go cheat on me and not have a bastard child.
I've seen the ones that have the bastard child and tell you it's yours, Tom.
Well, they do.
I've seen plenty
also,
of those.
Back in the days of my grandmother, there were no DNA tests. Back in the days of my grandmother, there were no social networks. Back in the days of my grandmother, women did not go out to work.
Right.
So you were not there with your work husband. You were not there going out to happy hour when Monday Night Football was playing. I have an ex-wife who used to go out to Monday night football with the people she worked with. Like, they'd go out on Monday night and watch the game together and drink. And the majority of those people were guys. My grandmother didn't do that. Didn't have it as an option. My grandmother did not have a cell phone where people could call her directly and talk to her without me knowing about it. Without her husband knowing about it.
Right.
My grandmother did not have an email address. My grandmother did not have a camera. My grandmother could not send selfies or, titty pictures or whatever. She couldn't do that. The genie's out of the bottle. All these things now exist. And so now getting married is essentially It's an opportunity for a woman to prove she has the goods to trick some guy into buying into this scam.
Wow, wow, wow.
That's what it is now. And for me, it's a constant game you're playing. Because here's what you want. You want them constantly to be auditioning, as I always say, as I'll say in my book. You want her constantly auditioning to be Mrs. You. Without ever actually becoming Mrs. You.
How do you have some sort of stability of some kind in which to raise the next generation, Tom?
Well, I don't think you're going to. Because people, marriage is the biggest joke in the world. You know, when I was a kid, it was still true. If you were Catholic, you couldn't get divorced. You had to get an annulment from the Catholic Church. And that was expensive. Like Frank Sinatra could get an annulment, but you couldn't.
All right.
Okay? So it was, by the way, there was also a stigma attached to having split up. Do you know my Uncle Leo, who was an alcoholic, whose wife threw him out, kept the kid and threw him out, he never got divorced.
Yeah, I think that's common.
Back then.
I think that's
not
that's
now.
Sort of the converse of now. I talk to people who talk about their husband or whatever, but they're actually not married.
Well, that's primarily Latinos.
Yeah.
I would say that is specifically Latinos
and
generally not others.
They have a fiancé, and the fiancé is just like, you know, been the fiancé for 20 years or whatever.
Right. Well, but I have had relationships and been involved in countless Latino families where a woman says, I've been married 6 times, but when you probe, you find out she's actually walked down an aisle once or twice. And she's had 4 boyfriends who
right.
she called their husbands.
Right, right.
All right. And that still happens.
Right.
That still happens. But when I was a kid, there was a real stigma to being divorced or to leaving. So people wouldn't even get divorced. They would stay together.
I understand, but the opposite is better now the way it is now. But things are out of control now.
But that's what happens when you don't have those restraints artificially placed on people.
Nah, I think it's crazy. And when you take on top of that, Tom, if you look at this thing now with gender now, that there's 26 genders and all that.
Right.
I mean, I think these are sure signs of societal collapse. I mean, seriously.
Well, people have actually lost societal their fucking collapse. Minds. That's very biblical. This
I'm
idea
not
this
being
Armageddon
biblical.
Coming.
I'm not being biblical. Come to family court with me. I'll show you what's going on.
Oh, I've been to family court.
Things are
collapsing. As you know, I've been many, many times to family court.
Things are collapsing. You see that. You see it in people's faces. People are like, what the hell is
right.
this? I don't know what to
but,
do.
But it's collapsing because they keep trying to make something work that's never going to work.
Yeah, that's harsh. It's very difficult.
But it's true.
I talk to a lot of guys, Tom. They say that they've been listening to your show for 20 years, and they
mm-hmm.
still got married repeatedly.
Right.
And they got into these crazy situations. I had a guy call me today with a stepson and a half-sister and all this bullshit. And I said, why'd you get involved with a single mother? And he's like, oh, I know I shouldn't have. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, we talk a good game, but a lot of this stuff happens anyway, you know. People are doing the same exact thing, so I don't even know. I don't know
right?
if it's any worse than it was or used to be or I don't know what.
Well, I don't even think better or worse is the proper term. You know, we all began with the invention of and the release to the public of the birth control pill.
Let's see,
and then it continued.
That's
it
a great thing. That liberated women, for God's sake.
Well, that including liberated them from having to stay home and fold your socks for 50 years.
I don't think that's something we would want to take back. I think that's been good.
I don't want to take it back either, but you see, I also am realistic that once women have their own cell phones, they can get their own jobs, make their own money. Once they can go out after work with their work husbands and to happy hour and go out to Monday Night Football, once they can send titty shots to their friends who work at work or whoever they met along the way without you knowing about it, calls without you knowing about it, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle.
I agree. The other hand is that the women are more unhappy than ever before. Okay? I mean, super unhappy. More hysterical. And they're all on their freaking talk shows and all these magazines talking about
yep.
they can't find a good man and their men don't want to make commitments and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So
we don't.
As much as the, as you say, birth control pill has been influential in freeing women, the effect has not necessarily been very freeing.
But the whole idea of a strong family
women.
was based on making people into pariahs who were not part of nuclear families. You can't do that to people anymore.
I don't think that's a good thing either. It's not right.
But that's what kept people in line.
Yes, but if you have to get divorced and you're with some cunt, that should be a stigma? I mean, why should you be humiliated
well,
in the community?
Well, it's not anymore.
I'm saying I think that's how it should be. It shouldn't be a problem. It shouldn't be special. It should be the way it is now.
But it's a stigma that kept this artificial togetherness together.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not a religious person, but I got to be honest. When I see the Mormons on TV and they've got these big families and they seem so freaking happy, you know, it makes them jealousy in some way, you know? It seems like a very nice thing. It's nice to be able to imagine yourself old and you have your grandchildren and so forth, you know? That's not a bad thing.
It's nice to imagine lots of things.
Yeah, but it exists.
It's nice to imagine a chick who blows you, fucks you, and then turns into a six-pack and a sandwich before leaves.
She doesn't necessarily
it's
have
great
to
think about.
There is something besides that. You could have a woman that blows you and really loves you, and you have a real partnership with her. Why should that be impossible?
And you could also, like I say, you could also win Powerball. It's not impossible.
No.
It's highly unlikely.
No, you know something, Tom? I got to be honest with you. It's not highly unlikely. It's impossible. It actually is impossible. I don't believe it.
I have
all.
Known. I would be. Saying it's impossible would mean I've never known anyone who has a happy marriage. Never known anyone who stayed together.
You know something? I got to tell
you. That's not true.
You know something? Honestly, I have to tell you, you may be my influence on this. But when someone starts telling me about how good their marriage is, the first thing in my head is bullshit. Seriously.
Well, mine too.
And I'll tell you something else.
But
I talk to them 2 years down the road, and they admit to me that it was bullshit.
Look at this. Look at my parents. My parents had their ups and downs, but they were together for 40 years.
But your mother is from a completely
different
world.
My dad died right
after
the 40th anniversary.
Come on. Your mother's from a different universe. Okay.
Right.
And by the way,
all know people.
I didn't get the impression her father, your father, was so kind to her. You know.
By the way, I agree. But this is the other part of the point. I guess I'm trying to make is that back in the day, people stayed together if their husbands beat them. They stayed together if they had 10 kids and they were living in abject poverty.
We're not endorsing that.
But that's what it was back when people were always staying together.
I understand. But when a woman calls me and says to me that her husband's hitting her or whatever the hell, he's stalking her, he's doing all this bullshit, the first thing that I tell her is, okay, you got to get rid of him. Am I wrong? I mean, we should go back to the way it used to be or whatever?
I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you have a society where there's no longer a stigma to being single, there's no longer a stigma to being childless, there's no longer a stigma to being divorced.
Right.
Then that's the society you're going to get.
I don't know. There's got to be...
And by the way, I've divorced 4 times. I'm not advocating no divorce. What I'm saying is stop believing that somehow we're going to fix marriage. We're not. It's like another concept that's wrong. Slavery. Okay?
Yeah.
We had slavery for decades.
Slavery goes back to the Bible, Tom. I mean, that was out throughout humanity, slavery.
Right. Well, once we finally decided, to all of us, not just some of us, all of us, that slavery was wrong, once slavery was made illegal, you don't have people saying, let's go back to that.
Right.
Those were the days when you sat on the porch having some sweet tea and listened to the sounds of the locusts. There were not people who want to do that, you know? Now that you don't, that we've all decided that's wrong, now nobody wants to do that anymore.
I think that if one of your marriages, your third or your fourth or whatever, even your first one, had worked out better, you know what I mean? I mean, in some ways, you might have had a good life in that context.
But everybody says things like that, you know, if, you know what? If... How about the people who say, if we didn't have California and New York, Donald Trump would have won in a landslide?
Right.
I mean, but you're always going to have California and New York. That's how it works.
Yes, I wasn't going that far.
If only things were better. Well, the point is, they're never going to be better.
Nah.
This is what it is. And here's another really sad thing to consider for the future. You know, people really only care what's good for themselves. They don't care what's good for kids in general or their kids specifically.
Yeah, I'm sorry to agree with you. And by the way, it's supposed to be only men like that, but women are very much like that too.
I know that.
Oh, well, people don't always acknowledge that. You know, this was a motherhood and apple pie, you know? have seen a lot of instances of women who were doing extremely narcissistic, selfish things that fucked up their kids, and they didn't think about it for a second. Their own, the complete focus was on themselves, and the impression is
how
that,
many,
you know,
how many of these stories do we see with some chick going out to a bar or a strip club or a casino?
Yeah.
And leaving their 9-month-old kid with the windows rolled up out in the vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
While they go in. People do not give a shit about other people. They care about themselves.
Yeah, it happens a lot more than
that's reality.
To. Yeah. I can't disagree.
People are just not selfless like that.
Yeah. No, it's true. There's no doubt about it. I guess the thing has to be different. What really guides society, and we talked about this in the past, and I talked about Proposed Law and so forth, is female hypergamy, where women, you know, and I always heard girls say this when I was growing up, you know, I'm going to marry a rich guy, I'm going to, you know, women are going to, like, trade up. And there's always that fiction with women where, you know, the commoner marries the prince or whatever, you know? And somehow or another, that's going to always push this. Always. There's always going to be doing the same situation where the woman is always looking for a better deal. That's it. And so, you know, I would have thought at one time, you know, if you look at the Arab countries, you know, if a woman cheats on the husband, it's like a death sentence, you know? In South America, uh-huh. That's a classic thing. You know, the husband catches the wife cheating in Argentina or whatever, and he kills her. You know, Tom, he kills her, and the courts go easy on him because they believe that that's, you know, acceptable.
We do that, too. We have so-called crimes of passion. Now, mostly, it's women who kill their spouses or boyfriends.
That's the burning bed.
Who benefit from that.
That's Farrah Fawcett lighting the guy on fire.
But we've had that whole concept of crimes of passion is preposterous.
Right.
You don't have the right to kill anyone unless they're coming to kill you. That's it. This idea, well, you know, I caught my husband with a woman in bed and I had to do something. How about that disc jockey? Do you remember the disc jockey named Humble Harv?
Oh, my God.
You know about Humble Harv?
You showed me that one.
Because Humble Harv was before your time in L.A., but Humble Harv was a disc jockey in L.A. If I recall the story correctly, he came home and found his wife with another man and shot him.
Right.
Shot him dead. And Humble Harv not only came out of prison after a reasonable period of time, or unreasonable, depending on your point of view, he was back on the radio.
Well, we've had a number of convicted felons on the radio. As you used to say.
No, but not many of them have actually put a gun to someone's head and blown them away.
Humble Harv Miller.
Yes.
1958.
He was on KRLA. Look
him up. W-A-A-T in KRLA. Burbank. KBLA, they said also. I don't know.
KBLA, yeah.
Yeah.
But he was on, KRLA. Yes, he was mostly known for KRLA.
Yes. Yeah. Humble Harv Air Check.
Killed his wife. Yeah. You know what kind of business radio is? He continued working after he got out.
Well, don't you remember you used to say that at the beginning of the show, this is the show that's not hosted by a felon, a convicted
right-wing
felon.
Right-wing wacko or a convicted
felon. Convicted felon.
No.
You know, Danny Bonaducci said it was him that you were talking about, but I always thought it was G. Gordon Liddy.
It was never him.
It was Liddy.
It was never any one person. My opinion, when I created that phrase in 1994, was that the business was being overtaken by people who, instead of having broadcasting experience or education, they're being chosen for being notorious. And it wasn't any one person. People always thought they knew the person I was talking about.
Right.
But the reality is, do you know Tanya Harding did a morning show in Portland?
Yeah, how many viewers did she get?
Well, put it this way. God, she got a lot when she first went on.
Oh, man. I don't know. I can't.
Do you know? I mean,
I'm really pleased
we couldn't get on
off the scene.
We couldn't get on 97.1 because they put Kato Kaelin on.
Oh my God!
Well, it was more of a reaction to that than anything else.
This is what you're also talking about with you're talking about all the celebrities that died this year or whatever last year. You know, people are confused as to, you know, what a celebrity is. You know, that used to mean something. I don't know if you know, Tom, but when the Beverly Hillbillies was a popular show, they were getting 75 million viewers when they when the show was on.
I brought that up. Oh, 70 million a week.
A week. So now you have
which is more than double what American Idol had at its peak.
Yeah, of course. So you talk about, you know, this thing you're referring to now, the Tonya Harding or whatever, and she had, what, 2,000 listeners, you know. It's like the thing you said about we're going to have radio.
Well, I don't know how many listeners she had, but I'm willing to bet you that she had a lot of listeners in the beginning when they first started promoting that she was going to have a radio show.
Yeah, but you were saying that someday we're going to have radio and each one of us is going to have our own channel, you know?
Yes.
I think that's
it. I did.
I think we're here. Anyway, Humble Harv was,
I definitely
he was convicted
said that.
Of manslaughter, is the story.
Right. But manslaughter.
Not
isn't
bad.
Isn't that usually 25 years or something?
Yeah, that's a lot less.
He didn't serve 25 years.
Yeah, it looks like he served.
How long did he serve?
About 3 years.
3 years. And he was back doing sock hops on KRLA.
No, you know, he got hired by KKDJ. After
Well,
prison.
He was also on KKDJ.
Oh, he was on everything.
That changed format.
Tom, he worked at KIIS, KCBS, KZLA, also in Philadelphia and Seattle. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He did something called Mondo Mod, Counterculture. Tom, you are like an encyclopedia.
What's more
of
counterculture
radio?
Than taking out a gun and blowing somebody away? That's counterculture as it gets.
Oh, my God. Well, I was hoping that these women would learn. What can I do? You know, in a way, you think that that might be...
I'm just saying, it's not going to... This situation is only going to get worse, not better.
I agree, but you know, maybe guys will start killing their...
The only way to see...
Sorry.
Well, by the way, you know, if all I had to serve was 3 years, that if I were on more drugs or a heavier drinker... Who knows what I would have decided?
Well, that's
to do.
What I was thinking. If more guys were killing their adulterous girlfriends and wives, you know, maybe it would make women think twice. You know, what has really impressed me, Tom? I've got guys that call me that the wife told them right to their face. You know, I fucked your friend, and he's got a bigger dick than you, and you know, and the guys want them back. The guys want the girl back.
Right?
They're not that mad.
I always say about treating people like shit, and they can't get enough.
Right, that's sick. There's something wrong with that, man. That's really
that's
bad.
That's how it is.
Nah, come on.
I point as my evidence, my exhibit A through Z, and then plus is all the women. Talk to any woman you ever date.
About
the guys they've known in the past, and they will tell you that every one of them was an asshole, a dick, a creep.
What a creep my boyfriend was. Yeah, he treated me like shit.
Right. and meanwhile, they've had sex with every one of these guys.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's no doubt about it.
What more do you need to know? Treat people like shit, and they can't get enough.
The interesting...
And by the way, let's add into that other things that have nothing to do with love or marriage. When you call a restaurant and they say you can't get a reservation for 6 months.
Oh, now you're desperate to go there.
That's the place. Now everybody wants to go.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
How about when Spago opened in 1982? Remember Spago opened in 1982?
Of course, Spago.
And they had an unlisted phone number.
Isn't that great? Isn't that just beautiful?
So you had to know Wolfgang Puck to get in.
Yeah, you had to know him personally. They literally didn't want. They didn't want people to call.
Here's my card. Call this number if you need a reservation, but don't give it to anyone.
Yeah, don't bother.
And of course, this is just masterful.
Oh, that just make people insane, right?
Again, if you say open 24/7, nobody wants to come. You say you can't get a seat in there, you can't even bribe your way in there, then everybody wants to come.
You know, my true lived experience is talking to the women on the phone, and they say, I know he was a jerk, he treated me like shit, I just can't explain it. That's the thing. That's my favorite.
Yeah, well, they can't explain it because they can't admit the horrible truth.
Oh, man.
That the guy treated them like shit, and they couldn't get enough.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And so what you have now is you have all these guys going, I thought if I was a nice guy, I thought if I came home every night at 6, I thought if I brought my paycheck home.
When you were a single
I thought everything would be great.
Dude, when you were a single guy, a guy raised by a single mother, what's the word for that? When you're a boy raised by a single mother, that's what your mother tells you, okay?
Pussy?
No, I'm being serious. Yeah. I swear to God, I don't think my mother was trying to hurt me or anything, but I remember being a young teenage guy, blah, blah. Mom, how do I get girls to like me? It's a very natural question. You don't have a father, so you ask your mother, you know? And your mother tells you, well, if you want a girl to like you, then you have to be really sweet to her and buy her chocolates.
I get to respect and women.
Tom, I'm serious.
Don't make them cry. I know what they say.
You're telling me I'm going to tell my kid.
And that's why guys can't get laid.
I'm going to tell my kid, make her cry, then she'll want you, you know? Treat her like shit. That's the way.
That's what works.
Okay. Let's just say, Tom, that is a little bit counterintuitive, you got to admit. That's not exactly what logic would explain and dictate to you.
But really, if you look at the reality, instead of going with your emotions, that is what works. If you can detach yourself from the emotional part of it and just look at who women have sex with, who they date, who they lust for, it's never nice guys.
You know that song, Is She Really Going Out With Him? Did you hear that song?
Yes. Yeah.
Joe Jackson. Yes. This is the pivotal song for me as a teenager. Because I remember myself and several of my friends asking various girls out, getting rejected, and then later on seeing who they did go out with, where they were going to the prom with some scumbag.
Let's quote the song. Gorillas Down My Street. That's what the song says. Now that song came out in 1978.
It was Pretty Women.
1978.
Pretty Women Walking with Gorillas Down My Street.
Right?
There goes Janie with her new boyfriend.
This was 1978.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah,
so this is not new. This is the way it's been.
Yeah. No, I don't know, man. I'm just saying I think that I'm in a unique position to see how this comes out and see how this plays out. And these women, their lives are ruined by this. There couldn't be anything more ruinous. It's the worst thing that could possibly happen.
No, but they got what they wanted. They were the center of attention for a day, a $40,000 wedding at one time. Then they bought an expensive house, or they were given a Mercedes or something. So they had months or a couple of years where all this great stuff was happening. And then eventually, when the so-called love or the hormones wear off, you realize who you're really with. You realize that you've settled for less.
Unbelievable.
In fact, they did a satirical commercial on Saturday Night Live in the past season, talking about a new app called Settle, which they spelled S-E-T-T-L. And it's the app where you go on to not meet the man of your dreams, but to meet someone you're going to settle for.
Right. Let's face it, right?
And by the way, most women feel that way about the men they are with.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's something that Chris Rock talked about. He was saying that, the reason your woman is angry at you is because you're not her first choice. And the perception they always have is, you know, well, he's okay, but I settled. You know what I mean? I didn't get everything on my list or whatever. Now, you see how nutty it is.
Right. Now, the way to get everything on your list is not to do one-stop shopping, as I always say.
Oh, you need one
woman who's going to fold your socks and one woman who's going to blow you like crazy.
Yeah.
You're never getting both.
I don't know. It seems like the slutty women end up doing the heavy lifting. That's the key. So
what do you mean they do the heavy lifting?
Like, okay, so like 20% of women have 80% of the sex. Okay?
Yeah.
So in other words, 80% of women are all, don't touch me there, and I'm waiting till I'm getting married, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, you know? That's 80%. So then you have this 20% who, you know, like sex, they're more into it, so they end up, you know, being the ones that have to sort of carry the water
for everybody else.
Right?
So they're not really slutty. They just have to be with more men because, you know, there aren't enough of the hot ones to go around, you know?
I mean,
it's amazing to me that even at my age, you know, I meet women in their 30s and their 40s, and they give you a list of all the things they won't do, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, they say, well, man, I can't find the right guy to marry me. Yeah, well, of course not. what guy would put up with your bullshit? Just listen to yourself.
All right.
You know, when a woman tells you all the things that she doesn't like and all the things she won't do and all her expectations and all this, you get a freaking headache, you know? I mean, being married to her would be a nightmare. And, you know, you've had a couple of guys call in and say, you know, I knew the sex was a problem, but I figured it would get better after we got married, you know? I think most guys know that that's not true. I think they're pretty clear on that.
No, it's as good as it's going to get right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. I also think it's that whole shortage thing, Tom. I think that that really plays into it. And you know, maybe this is something a little different for us, you know, because we live in a big city or whatever. But there's definitely a guy who's got a woman that wants to sleep with him and she's crazy or whatever and difficult to deal with. But his perception is he has to hang on to her with his fingernails because he's not going to find another one for a long time, if ever, you know? They're like, in other words, a woman that says yes is so unique and rare and unusual that, you know, if you found one, you know, you just take her no matter what because, you know, you might not ever find another one. And looking at it in that way as a shortage, as a real scarce thing, scarce commodity, that screws the whole calculation up. Because I think, you know, guys, if they were more selective, they would say, you know what, you're a bitch, I'm not going to put up with your shit. You know, a woman would have to stop with the nonsense. But she doesn't. And the cruelest ones, as you've said so many times, are the married ones who just keep, in a sense, upping the ante. And they just keep getting nastier and nastier and more demanding and more selfish and more narcissistic. And they look at the husband and they say, F you, what are you going to do about it? You don't like it? You know, I'll take all your stuff. So that sort of switches the power dynamic in that way.
Right.
There's got to be a way to fix that. There's got to be some equalization.
I don't agree. The horse has left the barn, or in some cases the cow has left the barn. And now this is the way it's going to be. You know, if women are free to fuck around on you and then take half of everything you own, if they are free to
hit
you and then not be punished when the cops come over,
you had to.
If they are,
you had to not have to be. You had to make no fault divorce. You had to. That just makes sense. You couldn't have this thing where you were investigating and trying to show whose fault it was and all this nonsense. That's crazy.
Yeah, but you now live in a society where you could come home from work one day and find your wife straddling your best friend
right in the center of your living room. Yeah, yeah.
Right there.
And then he serves you with papers.
And then after that, I told you what happened with MTL2.
Yeah.
MTL2, I knew for a fact that she was fucking somebody else she worked with.
Yeah.
Knew it for a fact.
Well, she went down screaming she was innocent, right? So, I mean, there you go.
Correct. But the point I'm making to you is, one day I said to her before I went to work, I said, you have two choices. You either tell me the truth or get out.
All right.
Those are your choices.
See what she...
And when I came home, she had cleaned out every drawer in the house.
Yeah.
Nothing of mine, but took all her stuff. The place was empty.
Then
she called me the next day and she said, quote, I've hired Gloria Allred.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to take you to the cleaners.
Well, even Gloria can't do everything.
Well, Gloria couldn't do it because I said, well, that's fine. You go ahead and do that. But I'm going to rent every venue where you have press conferences with Gloria. And I'm going to follow it up with a presentation of your hotel bills, love notes, cards.
Nice.
And so by the end of this, you may win in the divorce, but you're going to lose your career as a TV news person.
Yeah, well, she should have been a little more aware of her weaknesses.
Well, she thought it was even more powerful than it is, the power that women have.
I know. What gets me about her in the way you confronted her is that she should have said she was sorry. That's the thing.
Well, no. She should have admitted she did it.
Let's start
with that.
No, but that's exactly what
I'm saying. She didn't even admit.
No,
even if she wasn't sorry, she didn't even admit she did it. She said, I was the crazy.
Yeah, I understand. That's how crazy she was.
All right, but see, the point is, that's why women do these things,
yeah, but
they can't.
Well, that's sick. The smart approach is that she should have said to you, Tom, I was going through something, and I don't know, I'm so sorry, can you ever forgive me? You know, that would have been the smart idea, I think. I don't know what
she
did.
She just wanted to, she told me when she was trying to make things work.
Yeah.
She said to me, let's just move on. Let's just move ahead here.
Yeah.
Let's just move forward.
My favorite let's
never look at what you did and why you did it.
Yeah. Why are you dwelling in the past? Can't we just move forward? By the way, that's drug addict talk.
I think there's a lot of similarities between drug addicts and people who are addicted to living these secret lives fucking around on the side.
No, but every time I've gotten screwed over by a drug addict, when you confront them with it and you're angry, you know, and you say to them, it's not right that you did this, that's the answer, you know?
Right.
Why are you dwelling on the past, you know? Can't you let it go? It's like, I'm sorry, man. That was only like 2 days ago, you know? I'm sorry if I'm dwelling, you know?
Or it's the past.
Yeah. I think women are very much like that also. I think their way of thinking is definitely to forgive themselves and to justify their own behavior.
But you would need, just like other things that we, look, the reason we don't break the window of Macy's and make off with furniture or clothing is because we know there are penalties involved. And if there were no penalties involved, people would do whatever they want.
Right.
And that's what's happened with marriage. There was a time when fucking around had a penalty. You know, when I was a child, if you fucked around and your husband had hired an investigator and found evidence you were fucking around, you were not getting any vagina moan.
That was fault divorce.
Right. But now what you've done is you've said, you know, if you happen to break the window of Macy's and abscond with whatever's in the window, we're not going to do anything about it.
Right.
And let's be realistic. What keeps public decorum, whatever's left of it, is the threat of punishment in the event that you screw up. That if murder were legal, more people would murder. That's just a fact.
Yeah, it's a very interesting analysis.
And it's the same thing with marriage. Now you tell women, cheating on your husband will have no penalty to you at all.
Right, no real consequences.
So, that's what they do.
So are you of the mind that, Tom, that morality is that way, that people only don't do bad things because of consequences?
I always say, I've said this and I believe it, people are as moral as their choices.
So if people knew, if a man knew, for example, that he could rape a woman and definitely get away with it, like not go to jail, then he would do it?
Surveys have been taken that have proven that.
Really?
Yes.
So he wouldn't say, I can't do it, it's not right, or I don't want to hurt another person,
no,
or whatever.
No, because morality is not determined by the Bible for people anymore.
I'm not talking about the Bible.
Morality is determined by law.
I understand, but morality would be on two levels. It would be the punishment by law, I agree with you, but then it would also just be the fact that it's wrong, you know?
But people are not naturally moral. They are threatened. This is why, you know, the Catholic Church would hit kids on the hand with a ruler or threaten them with hell.
They're just sadistic.
Well, they would threaten them with going to hell.
I think the nuns in particular are very sadistic. They like to hurt people. That's why they hit them with rulers.
Yeah, but look, let's face facts. Many people, when I was a kid and I looked around and I saw people who were from religious families, the ones who were doing quote-unquote good were the ones who were afraid of going to hell.
Yeah.
If you're not afraid of going to hell,
if
you're not afraid of some kind of punishment, then you're going to do whatever you can get away with.
No, I think that's some kind of child abuse, to be honest with you, where they talk about like Dante's Inferno and they describe hell to children and they talk about how horrible it is and they tell them, you know, if you don't listen to your parents, that's where you're going to go, you know? I mean, I don't think that's
right.
That's crazy. That's crazy behavior. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, but now that they don't do that anymore, you have a lot less people staying in marriages. You have a lot less people taking care of the kids they created. You have a lot less people who are staying around even when things get tough. Because there was a time when people were afraid of what would happen to them. They were never naturally moral. They had to be threatened into morality.
So if you have the opposite, Tom, then when I say we're watching the disintegration of society, that's true, right? Because society,
what we're watching is the disintegration. No, what we're watching is the disintegration. And you can decide what this means after you've said it.
Yeah.
But what we're watching is the disintegration of people being responsible for what they do and say.
Right, but that's the whole basis of society.
Well, there's a lot of other for me, there's a lot of other elements to society as well. But one thing is for sure, we live in a society now where, you know, we're raising kids. Well, he didn't know that putting the needle in his arm would mean he'd become, become hopelessly addicted. He might die. He has a disease.
Right.
Or he's not everything. A lousy soccer player. Everybody tried really hard on that team.
Yeah.
Now, we're at a point now where no one is responsible for anything they ever do.
Right. What I feel in our society in this way, though, you know, I remember like someone saying something, and like when I was a teenager or even younger, it was like, you know, like you say, you should do this, and they'd say, make me, you know, like I don't have to, you know. And at the same time, Tom, you know, we were talking about some of these businessmen that, like, you know, never pay a bill if they don't have to or whatever.
Right.
You know, isn't you know, do you only do it because you might get sued? I mean, you know, don't you get a service and pay for it because you're supposed to? You know,
there are people who do it. Look.
When a doctor,
I just saw a commercial this weekend for IKEA. Have you seen this one yet?
Okay.
A woman goes to IKEA. She looks like a 40-year-old housewife. She goes to IKEA and comes to the register, and she gets the receipt and looks at it, and she clearly thinks she was undercharged. And so in the commercial, she does what so many people would do. Instead of saying to the person at the register, can we check again and make sure that you scanned all my items? She goes running from the store with her receipt in hand, comes out the front door of IKEA yelling to her husband, go, go, go. And he's supposed to step on the gas.
To get away.
Because she just got away with all this stuff.
Oh, God.
That she didn't pay for.
The reason that commercial
works, it's because it's what most people would do.
The IKEA winter sale.
Oh, shit.
Get up to 50% off select items now through January 10th.
Yeah.
Well, wow, Timson isn't kidding around, man.
He gets right on that. That commercial, I just saw it for the first time over the weekend.
Okay. You know,
right? Now, there's an example of morality in action. That's it right there in the commercial. And I'm sure IKEA has its own set of shoplifters and ne'er-do-wells who come in.
No doubt.
Here they are actually encouraging that behavior by admitting essentially that this now is human nature.
The IKEA winter sale.
Oh God. I think I'm an attorney. I'm not the most honest guy in the world. Let's just say. But I've gotten the wrong change. You know, and I have pointed it out to the cashier.
Well, it's very nice of you.
You know why,
Tom?
You
really think most people do that?
You know why? Because I think she's going to end up having to pay it if it doesn't add up at the end of the day, right?
All right. That's very... Look, I'm glad you thought that way. That's fantastic.
Isn't that right?
We need people like you. Yes, but do you think most people are like that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when a doctor takes care of me or I get some other kind of a service, right? I'm not talking about getting ripped off. I mean, fair and square. Someone fixes my car and, you know, they really help me. I don't resent paying that bill. You know, it's okay.
I understand that.
So, but the fact that I don't have to pay it, and if I don't pay it, ha-ha, what's he going to do? That never crossed my mind. That's not the way you're supposed to live your life.
But do you think most people are like that?
Yes.
I don't.
Most people are fundamentally decent.
And by the way, I think that has to do with living in urban areas where we do not know our neighbors. We generally do business with strangers, and so we don't feel any obligation to be honest.
But even if I don't know...
I would
know.
Say that when I am living at the ranch, and I go to a local store, and somebody gives me a dollar too much change, where they forget to scan something and I walk out with it, I think about that, and so does everyone else in the area, because they know that person.
So you know
the store owner.
But even if you didn't, even if it was a conglomerate like Ralph's or Apple Store or whatever, right?
I don't agree.
You're not going to give them a bad check. You wouldn't do that.
No, but I would say this. If you went to Ralph's and you bought $200 worth of groceries and you got a bill for $37, you would not say, maybe you want to take a look. I bought a prime rib back there. Maybe you want to scan that. Yeah. That's what people would do.
I'm not going to get the end of it now.
That's what people do.
Keep in mind
that in the studio where you're sitting, it's near the first and biggest IKEA in the United States.
Yeah.
Burbank.
You know, they're closing it. Did you know that?
Yeah, because they're moving.
They're moving to an even bigger one.
Yeah.
Next to the Tesla store, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm very up on the Burbank happenings.
But that was the first IKEA in America?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. But I believe that when you're in a bigger city and people don't know the people behind the counter and they don't know the people standing in front of them at the store or behind them at the store, they're much less likely to do the right thing when nobody is overseeing them. Here's another one. That sign in the bathroom that says that you should wash your hands.
If you're an employee.
But number one, everyone should do that.
Okay.
Number two, who's checking? And you know as well as I do, they took surveys. They did hidden camera things. Countless times they have found that if no one's in there, people don't wash their hands.
Oh, that's cruel.
They only do it because other people are looking.
Oh, dear.
Right?
I guess.
And I really believe that people do the right thing because they have to.
Yeah. Ouch.
Right? I know. You know what? Adam, it's funny. Many people see you as relentlessly optimistic. And I see
really?
Why.
Is that true?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Relentlessly nasty. I'm confused.
Well, no, but you're also optimistic, like thinking that you can make marriage work. That's never going to happen now.
No,
done.
I never said you can
days
make marriage
are over.
Work. I told you
what
you
is your wife's name again?
I don't
What's
have a
your
wife.
Wife's name?
I told you can't
That's
make marriage
point.
Work. Tom, I've said you can't make marriage work. You don't have to convince me.
But it's not going
to
get better.
I'm not relentlessly optimistic not to think that everyone in the world is ripping everyone else off. That you have to have a society that has a certain amount of trust between people. It's ridiculous. And I don't hate my neighbors.
I'm encouraging less trust. There's too much trust.
Nah.
There's too many guys out there, and you meet them all the time and say, well, I thought I could trust her.
Her. That's the word right there.
All right. Well, the fact is that most marriages, and now not all anymore, but most marriages involve a him and a her.
So I had this washing machine, Tom. And it was in pretty good condition, but I had to sell it because I bought a new one for some weird reason. And I advertised it on Craigslist, right? And some guy called me, and he really wanted it, right? And
right?
I was selling it for like $50, right? So I told him, I got to go because I got things to do today, but I'm going to leave it outside, and you take it and then put the $50 under my door, you know, like my front door. You could stick it underneath,
right.
Okay? So this guy literally came to my house when I was not there, took the washing machine from my driveway where it was just sitting, right? And he put the $50 under my door.
Well, you know, and like I always say, just like someone's going to win Powerball this weekend.
No, but Tom, I don't even know.
You're going to find.
I don't even know the guy's name.
Let me ask you a question. Has anyone, I'm not talking about your current car because your current car is in beautiful condition, but have you ever had a car? You came out, and it was dinged or dented.
Yes, yes. It happens to me.
Did you ever get a note from the person saying, that was me?
Generally not.
That's my point.
Okay, so somewhere in the middle of this frickin' mess, there are a little of each, let's just say. There are some decent people and some shitty people, I think. That's the bottom
line. All right.
I don't think that women, hopefully most of them, go into marriage planning to screw the guy, okay?
I think that a lot of this stuff happens because it's possible and because of human nature of seeking revenge or getting even with people or whatever the hell it is. I think that's what ends up happening. I think that this is how people connect a lot of these things that don't mean to. And I think that, unfortunately, we live in a mentality of people that say, you know, you got to get even, or you got to, like, stick it to someone, or you got to prove something, or I don't know what the hell it is. I think that's a lot of what goes on in our society. I really do.
Well,
I hate to think that most women are out there just looking for a guy that they can marry so that they can screw him in a divorce. You know what I mean?
Well, I hate to think about it, but I know it's true, even if I hate to think about it.
Well, I even, you know, in your experience means a lot to me, Tom, but I think that even your four wives or whatever, for all their shortcomings, I think that they, on the day they married you, they had a good intention. I don't think that they expected it. I think these things end up being stupid.
I don't think it was the day they married me. I think the day they met me, they had good intentions.
Even the day they married you.
Getting me to marry them, that there's a whole evil plot that goes with that. And by the way, I smoke most of them out with demanding a prenuptial agreement.
No, I'm talking about the ones you actually married, but okay.
Right, but guess what? The ones I actually married, even then, they signed the prenuptial agreement. And for example, MTL4 at one point thought that she could overturn the prenuptial agreement.
No, so she's a nasty girl at the end.
But I think isn't that mostly what's out there now?
I think that... that was just really nasty, really jealous and stupid and vain, you know, especially since she was the one who really broke the marriage the way she did. I would have hoped that she would have had better judgment to walk away rather than be an asshole.
Well, I think you're thinking of MTL 2, but that's
all right.
I'm
thinking of the one who was all red and all that.
No, that was number 2.
Number 4 also tried to break the prenup?
Number 4, at one point... I think to get me to not go ahead with the divorce.
Oh, great. So to keep you as a hostage.
Well, I read in Fortune magazine about this woman who was married to the guy who was the president of GE Finance.
Yeah.
And she wrote a cover story for Fortune magazine about how she broke the prenup.
Yeah, that's Walsh, I think,
that
right?
was used to get me to not go ahead and get divorced. What if
Welsh.
I did that?
Welsh.
I was told. Yeah. No, not Welsh. It was someone else. You're thinking of General Electric itself. I'm talking about GE Capital.
Oh, well.
Now I'm going to be typing.
But if you have a woman who is going to keep you in a marriage by threatening you.
Lorna, yeah, here. The woman's name was Lorna Wendt. W-E-N-D-T, like George Wendt.
Okay. What I'm saying is that if she's going to keep you in the marriage by threatening you. That seems kind of distressing, don't you think?
But that's what, again, when they get desperate, these are the kinds of things they do.
Yeah, she called herself the corporate wife. That's her favorite story.
Right.
So
well, this guy's name was Gary Wendt.
Yep. So what, in other words,
the chief executive of GE Capital Corporation.
Right. So she was going for broke, saying that she had value in building up his company or whatever. By the way, she died in 2016, another tragedy. Another tragic loss of 2016.
Yeah, I'm sure PETA or ASPCA had a nice,
nice
inheritance
there.
Yeah,
so all our tax dollars are going there.
Correct.
Very nice.
All right, how about we take a break here since we haven't done that at all?
Really?
And then we'll come back and we'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam coming up here. Don't go anywhere.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. With family law attorney Adam Sachs, who you can hear every Tuesday. In our bonus hour, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook or on the World Wide Web, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me email, which I love, and I will answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Adam Sachs again every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app.
Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
This is the new normal.